Praise the Lord and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo with a very important radio broadcast this evening or morning, whenever you're listening to it, or afternoon. This is part three of a piece of literature that the Lord gave me a few years ago entitled The Lord Speaking. Quote, did I offend you, or do I offend you? And are you ashamed of me? Part three. And also, we have quite a lengthy letter here that I believe is extremely important for you to hear. It uncovers a lot of the things that are happening in the prison system. There's so many people that it's you talk about kangaroo court. When I went to court, they wouldn't allow me to bring any of my witnesses in, just very few of them. Any of them that would testify of my innocence, they would not let them come in. And they told me, if I started, if anyone would come and start telling of the good works that I do, then they would start bringing in this entire string of liars. Well, a lot of people wonder, why am I saying things about everybody's in trouble? They've got troubles in this world today. And so why am I pinpointing certain people that have troubles? Well, the Lord asked Cain, he said, where is your brother Abel? Where is he? And Cain answered him and says, why am I supposed to keep track of everything that my brother does? Am I supposed to know where he is or him? And he says, well, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the earth. Well, the Bible tells us that we're earthen vessels and that there are people in this world that are crying out to the Lord help for help from somebody. And being it is that we are the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth, I thought it would be very good to read a letter here of a man that's crying out. He's actually buried in prison for the rest of his life for something that he said he didn't do. And I think after you hear this letter, you'll be able to tell how unjust his trial was. He was just a young man, and they would not allow him to bring in witnesses. They gave him a court-appointed attorney, and the attorney told him that he shouldn't testify. And, well, you'll hear the letter, but right now, let's all go up. And the Bible tells us to don't stop running. We have to keep running the race. If we're not to help our brothers and our sisters when they're in trouble and when the wrong has been done to them, and aid them in some way, as any way that we possibly can, well, then what are we? Can we call ourselves Christians? No, you can't. And inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of mine, the Lord said, when there's somebody crying to you that they that they need help, and in this particular case, he wants to be out on the streets because he states that he has not committed the crime and he doesn't even know why he's in prison. And you'll hear the letter, and I, having been put in prison for something I didn't do, and it was an Internal Revenue Service charge, and everybody knows that if they want to put you in prison, all they got to do is run a string of liars in on you, and they'll let even people out of prison if they'll testify falsely against you. I mean, people have written books on this. There's like hundreds of thousands of people that have had these atrocities done unto them while they were very young and they didn't know any better. They tell them, well, you won't be able to go to court for a year. This is one instance that I know of. But if you say that you committed the crime, we'll give you 2 or 3 months' time in jail. And that way we don't have to go through a trial and everything. If you just say you were guilty, when you weren't guilty at all, and you say, well, they say after 1 year you can go to court, and if you make us go through a trial, that 99 chances out of 100 you're going to be found guilty and you're going to prison for 5 to 10 or maybe even 15 or 20 years. But if you just confess that you did it right now, we'll only give you 3 months in the county jail and we'll put it in writing. And so a kid that doesn't have any money to pay for attorneys or anything, he might even be 18, 19, 20 years old, they most likely assign those statements, and they just figure, well, I got off on a good deal. But in reality, there was no good deal at all. They weren't guilty of the crime. We can't stop running. The Bible tells us that don't stop running. We have to continue on. Because we can't be ashamed of our brothers and sisters that are members of the body of Christ. And we cannot be offended by anything that the Lord tells us to do, and he tells us to fight for them. Amen?
Amen.
But fight for that which is right. And people say, well, why are you attacking the judicial system and the world system, which is the Antichrist? Well, then, the Bible says that we have to fight something, and I can't see any other enemy. Amen?
Amen?
But we don't fight them with guns, bullets, and bombs, or knives, forks, and spoons, but we fight them with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And we try to bring the truth of anyone's testimony to light. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service, and that, Father, we ask that you will touch the hearts of millions of people, because we know that almost everybody out there, if not everybody, knows that these things are going on, but very few people have the intestinal fortitude to talk about it. And that when we do, well, we know that we're going to be attacked, and that is maybe not going to be pleasant, because they persecuted you falsely and testified falsely against you, and just nobody stood up for you. And I want to be one, Lord, that will stand up for the corporate body, your corporate body, which is the New Jerusalem, anyone in the body of Christ that needs to be stood up for, as long as there's breath in my body, and as long as your spirit with the Father by the Holy Spirit is living in my spirit, I'm going to speak out and tell people the truth and try to get some aid for such unfortunate people as the one Eric Brown that we're going to be talking about this evening. And if there's time left, then I'm going to continue on with part three of the Lord speaking, quote, "Do I offend you, the things that I tell you to do? And are you ashamed of me to stand up for part of the body of Christ that may be in prison because you don't want to involve yourself with somebody that's being persecuted because you feel that maybe you'll get persecuted too?" The Bible tells us that the unbelievers, the fearful and the unbelievers, the ones that are too fearful to do what the Lord says, and the unbelievers will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, let's get honed up, brothers and sisters. Now, Father, we ask that you open up every heart, every mind, the spirit of everyone, and that you enter into their hearts with the truth and with the full armor of God, that they'll become armored and full of zeal, and that they'll be armed with the Word of God and with the zeal to defend the body of Christ, because they're your children. And I believe that people, Father, that don't defend those that are in the body of Christ one way or the other, at least send finances or something to them while they're in prison and help them out that way, and help their family, their mothers and their brothers and sisters or their wives and children out in the world, I believe that you're not going to honor them at the judgment bar of God, that they're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. Lord, I pray that people will be taught to be defenders of the gospel, to walk in the same spirit of defending brothers and sisters and defending people's souls, and that you've given us the power to do, the power to rule in this world with your word, so that it's your spirit in us. You, Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit, ruling in this world, that we surrender ourselves completely unto you, so that you're able to live out your life, to live your life in and through us, so that people can see the manifestation of you in this world. And Lord, that we remain hidden in you. Our old life, we go to the cross to be crucified. We go to the cross to die out to our old life, and there at the cross we are resurrected unto a new life. We're called into action, into the army of the Lord, to wield the double-edged sword, the word of God, and to defend one another. And we are our brother's keepers. And our brothers and sisters all over the world are crying out from the soil, from the earth, of the ground that we're, our spirits are living in, and in the, that we're to put ourselves in the places of those that are in prison. Lord, we pray that you will, and people that are in hospitals that are sick and afflicted, and people that are starving, they don't have enough food and provisions for themselves, and we know that a lot of people do that, but to stand up for people that no one will stand up to. I've seen people, Father, step over people that are falling down in the gutters. They won't even, they just feel that it's a horrible thing to even touch somebody or to go and whisper to them, is there anything that I could help you with? Can I do something for you? Or to see somebody that's hungry and ask them, is there any, are you hungry? Could I buy you something to eat? Or something like that. Father, we ask that you make people aware of this and that they begin being soldiers in the army of the Lord, and that they, the church is strengthened through this message today, and that millions and billions of souls will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now this letter is from a Mr. Eric Brown. Okay, and I, he wrote to me, and then I answered him back. And this is the letter that he, I think there's two or three letters here that he sent back to me. And so can you start reading them, please?
Mr. Tony, I received your letter yesterday and had to reread your words. Then the essence of what you were telling me humbled me completely, like never before, and I was compelled to drop to my knees and pray on the spot. Being a small man in prison, I developed a complex, and I don't like for people to see me praying on my knees. However, after reading your letter, I didn't care about people seeing me pray. Mr. Tony, you are a true vanguard for the people. Never in my young life have I had anyone offer to help me in every aspect that I need help in. You are the true blessing that I have been secretly praying for. Can't nobody tell me that there isn't a God? And I know he answers prayers at his own time. Pastor, I thank you so very much for your kind concern and compassion for my struggles. I still can't believe it, though.
Well, see, what I told him is that I have two very good attorneys in New York City, and one of them is Eric Lieberman, and the other one is Ron Kuby. They're actually even famous. They're so good. And I'm sending his letters, and I would have them try to get a hold of a transcript, if there is such a thing, in this particular trial, and to do everything in their power to get him out of prison if he truly is innocent. I'm not blinded by this letter, but I do believe he's telling the truth, because I've been there and I've seen exactly these things. These things have happened over and over again. and I myself was railroaded into prison on an Internal Revenue false charge. Okay, so let's go. So, and then this way, I'm going to put up the money, and several different volunteers in our church are putting up the money for the attorneys, and we're sending him some money to. He said he doesn't have money for postage stamps to do anything, so he can call his mother and write her and buy some hygiene in the prison and to take care of him, because it's rough enough to be in prison, but it's really rough, I have seen, when I was in prison, for people that didn't have money. You know, they don't have any pleasure at all in there, and some of them are in there that are really nice guys. Okay, let's go ahead.
I would like to answer all of your questions honestly and completely. Mr. Tony, you have reached your hand out to me farther than anyone has ever come close to. My family didn't have much to fight with, however, till death did us part. My father did his best, and my mother is still in my corner. Although divorced, they raised me to be righteous. Pastor, I walk in my integrity, and it would be a disgrace and dishonor to my character if I deceived or misled you. I've worked hard to gain the reputation as being a straight-up dude in prison. You told me to communicate with you, so in this letter I shall express my truest thoughts and all the facts. I pray that my honesty doesn't give you a negative impression of me. Pastor, I was born...
Oh, I never get a negative impression of people that are honest. I mean, that to me is a rarity, where people just uncloak everything that they've ever done. And I can tell, the Lord has given me a spirit of discernment. Some people, when they're telling me something, I'm a bit suspicious, but I always check it out very thoroughly to make sure. And that's what we're doing here. Okay, then go ahead.
Pastor, I was born 5/19/78, 3 months after my 16th birthday, 8/25/1994, I was arrested on this charge. I'm 27 now, and I've been here 11 years and 3 months. My state attorney, who was appointed to help me, was a wolf in sheep's clothing. I was young and inexperienced, and he worked with the DA and took advantage of me. But something in me told me things weren't right.
See, a lot of these DAs want to become judges, and so the more convictions they get, even if they're fake, you know, they just do everything to con you into signing that you're guilty. They tell you, you're going to be here 10 years anyway waiting for trial. And so if you just tell us now, we might give you might get a break. Or in this particular case, they didn't do that. They just wouldn't give him any way out. Go ahead then.
But something in me told me things weren't right, and when I questioned him about it, he ignored me. I told him I wanted to testify to clear my name, and he told me no. The DA doesn't have any evidence, so the best defense is no defense at all. Yes, the DA didn't have any physical evidence whatsoever, but he did have a mouthpiece, and I wanted to clear up what time I left and what really happened. Also, my two witnesses were told to leave the courtroom because they were witnesses. Then my lawyer told my mother, my two witnesses, and myself that he isn't going to call my two witnesses because they are my sisters, so the jury won't believe them. I said, let the jury determine that. Then he said, the DA will arrest them if they testify. I said, for what? How? He said, the DA's tricky. I know him. He'll do that. His reason didn't make any sense at all. My witnesses were there to rebut a state's witness who said he received the victim's safe from me at my sister's residence. My sisters and I were saying he was lying because the DA threatened to give him the charge because he was found with the safe.
Now, there are a lot of people that really deserve to be in prison. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of them that are in there. I've been in there with murderers, drug dealers that have murdered little babies and everything, but I've also been in there with people that were innocent as rain. I mean, absolutely 100% innocent, and it's for sure. And they'd show me the transcripts, and my attorney said, yes, they are innocent. And I'm battling for another, I've been battling for another man over in another Louisiana or prison. Okay, go ahead.
He told my sisters and I before and after the trial that the police scared him. He was 15 years old at the time. Now he's saying he's ready to come forward with the truth, but he doesn't want to get himself into trouble. Since the storm scattered so many people, I'm not sure if my sisters can locate him again.
That's because there was the storm in Louise in New Orleans. Then what?
When my trial attorney, Joseph L. Montgomery, refused to let me testify, he violated my rights. In this case, State of Louisiana versus Hampton and the numbers, the court ruled that no one, attorney, the court, DA, etc., can prevent a defendant from testifying in his own behalf. In this case, the conviction and sentence was thrown out, and the guy was released. Courts ruled that in order to prove this, the attorney must testify and admit his error. Encloses a copy of the affidavit I sent to my trial attorney, but he refused to sign it and pretended that it didn't happen because he thinks I'm trying to embarrass him. So I left out some of the stupid things he said to me when I was 16 and on trial and drew up this new affidavit, but he refused to sign this one as well, not wanting to admit to his guilt, out of fear that he would lose business because he's in private practice now. I'm ashamed at how I let them mess over me. They did me so wrong, my lawyer even waived the transcription of my trial, voir dire, opening arguments, as well as closing arguments. Why would a lawyer waive the transcription of something as vital as that if they're not trying to hide something? Since it's not on record, all the violations that happened, I can't argue it because I can't prove it because it's not in the record. They knew this, plus my trial transcript reveals that my trial jury was never sworn in at all. The DA presented a safe and an assault rifle that was found in the lake 9 months later. Nothing they presented could factually be linked to the victim nor me at all. Plus, they admitted that they did not have a murder weapon or eyewitness. They brainwashed the jury with inadmissible evidence. A woman who was mentally ill and on four different types of medication said she saw or heard nothing. 2 weeks later, after talking to the victim's girlfriend's mother, who she's been friends with for 10 years at the time, suddenly said she saw me coming out of the apartment around the time of the murder and take the victim's car. The victim's girlfriend testified, stating that when she left for work at 6 a.m., I was asleep on the sofa. Her time card was presented and showed she punched in at 6:15 a.m., but she didn't punch out, and someone else punched out for her. Why? Two of her previous boyfriends, mysteriously killed while dating her, were also known drug dealers. Also, Charles Pitts, who testified that he received the safe from me at my sister's apartment and gave conflicting dates, is the exact same height as I am. From my own little investigation, I found out that Valencia, the victim's girlfriend, set me up and used Charles, who was in special ed classes, and she's much older than he is. The victim, Carmelo, was an older white guy who took a like unto me because he said I was smart for my age and had heart for my size. I admit he wasn't a positive role model, but he was a friend. He treated me like a little brother, let me use his car, gave me money to put in my mother's purse at times of need, etc. Twice we caught Valencia at his apartment with another guy. On several occasions, Valencia got very hostile with me for urging my friend to leave her and put her out. She made herself look so innocent on the stand, and she screamed out loud and ran out of the courtroom after the DA showed her three gruesome pictures for no reason but to get the reaction they both wanted. Witnesses contradicted each other's statements and everything. Did I sell drugs? One time or another, yes. Was I wrong? Yes. Because I wasn't wise enough to utilize my brain and find better ways to make money. But I confess it felt good being able to give my mother money from time to time. As a kid, it made me feel like a man giving my mother money. I hated seeing her walking in the hot sun, going to her second job of the day. I wanted to buy her a car, but I wasn't into drugs that deep. Some people would think I'm foolish for telling you the whole truth. But you are a man of the Lord and you're trying to help me. I'm loyal to those who befriend me. Plus, you're wise and have been to prison before. I know you can detect a lie. I have no need to touch that stuff anymore. I've earned my GED, several law certificates, learned CPR, learned how to use my ability to speak, write poems and plays, etc. I know I can be successful and contribute good things to society. My trial transcript you asked me about is in my post-conviction attorney's possession. He ripped my family off for a measly $1,500 and lied to me and my mother about a writ he filed. I do have some paperwork, but I'll have to wait until my mother sends me some funds, and I'll provide the postage to send it to you right away.
At this point, I just instructed our staff to send him $100 immediately. Then what?
I don't have any copies, so I'll have to send you the original. Just give me a little time and I'll send it. I've no reason whatsoever to distrust you or your judgment. Besides my mother and father, no one has had an impact on my life like you have already. I don't even know how to begin to thank you. I pray that your offer to help me is still there, even after I told you the truth about my past. Although life is confusing at times and I struggle with my faith, but like Job, I refuse to disbelieve. And like Joseph, my middle name, I truly believe that the Lord would set me free and do something great for the people. I don't know how to get my transcript from my post-attorney, Sonny Armand, who has beat me out of my family's money and missed my deadline. So really, my best option is to have my trial attorney admit that he prevented me from testifying. However, if you want me to write Armand and try to get him to send the transcript to you, then I will try to have him do it. It's frustrating that I can't up and send you what you asked for, but I've been trying the best I can with little and or nothing to work with. But I know God has a plan for me. My post-conviction attorney with all my paperwork and transcripts, his address and number is, and he gives that. My trial attorney's address and number is, and he gives that. My two witnesses' names are Saron and Rochelle Brown. My mother would have their locations. My family has relocated to Arlington, Texas because of the flood. Just about all of them said they're not going back to live in New Orleans because there's better opportunities in Arlington. And my mother's address and a sister. Part two is in a separate letter. I pray that I was able to give you a decent understanding of my case until I'm able to send you stuff in writing. Test what I've told you, challenge it to make sure to make sense. See that it confirms with reality and not the other way around. I know God's on your side, and I truly believe He's on my side as well. May God bless you. Honor and loyalty is all I have to offer you right now. Again, thank you and God bless you. Sincerely, Eric. P.S. They say the truth will set you free. I pray that it works for me.
That's what the Bible says. When you know the truth, the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ will set you free. So, and then he sent another letter here?
Yes, part
right,
two.
Part two, I hear it.
Dear Mr. Tony, here's what's going on with me in this place. The situation with my brother is very sensitive to me. Yes, he escaped. Was he guilty of his armed robbery conviction? Yes. Do I think he did wrong for wanting freedom so bad? No. After he was surrounded, do I think he deserved to be shot down and murdered? No. He was captured and had nowhere to go. Two of the defendants are well known for murdering prisoners. One's name is Warden Bonnet, who over all these out camps where I am now. Long as I was in the main prison, away from these camps where the Bonnet's family is all ranking officers, I had no problems. Once I was sent to the out camps, Lieutenant Bonnet, Warden Bonnet's son, told two officers to get me. My prison record was clean. I have achievements to show what I was doing with my time. Sergeant Franklin told me what Lieutenant Bonnet said. I talked to Warden Jarrett, and he requested to be moved from around Lieutenant Bonnet. Why request was denied? Days later, some guy was busted with a joint. Hours later, Lieutenant Bonnet said I gave it to the guy, who I don't even know. Never had drugs in my record. The guy signed an affidavit stating that I did not give him anything. They sentenced the guy to 30 days cell confinement, which is lenient. I, who wasn't found to have anything, was sentenced to the maximum security Camp J, extended lockdown. I had been incarcerated for 8 years at the time and never committed a violation strong enough to send me to Camp J. The only time I'm sentenced to Camp J is when the Bonettes are involved. I can prove this. This was in 2002, and my prison appeal to that violation was just denied this year, with no grounds. My mother was living in New York with one of my sisters at the time and had to visit me behind a screen because of the false charge. They took my contact visits for 6 months. My mother traveled that far and couldn't touch me. Then things got even worse. They know prisoners can't afford attorneys to file their lawsuits, so they feel invincible because the complaints we file here gets denied by their relatives. They gave me the wrong medication. I had to be rushed to an outside hospital where they saved my life. They had to shoot me with steroids and adrenaline to boost my heart rate. I heard a nurse scream, "He's just a baby." They said I was very lucky to survive. I never prayed so hard in my life. I didn't fear dying because that's inevitable. I thought about my mom. She already lost a son here. Then my father and her only brother passed away back to back. Plus, I never lived yet. I want to marry, have kids, and be the provider, maintainer, and protector of my family. I filed a complaint, but they switched it up, saying I dropped it, which I did not. It's nothing for them to tell a lie. Then they said somebody wrote them a letter saying I was going to escape and harm an officer because of what happened to my brother. My mother came up here and they told her they know the letter is not true and that they took handwriting samples to determine who wrote the letter. I asked Warden Le Martinier 2 weeks ago, did he find out who wrote the letter? He told me he don't have to tell me or my mom nothing. He talked crazy to me, so I looked him in the eyes and told him the truth in a respectable manner. I said, "You didn't talk like that to my family." They used the letter situation to send me back around Lieutenant Bonnet, who's a captain now, only because of who his father is. He and another lieutenant threatened me and said they wish I die after I declared an emergency to see the doctor for the flu, which had me dehydrated. They refused and told the EMI A. Cowan to write me up for malingering without even checking my vital signs. I didn't make it to see a doctor until the next day, and he immediately rushed me to the emergency room and administered 2 IVs and said I was very dehydrated and a whole bunch of other stuff, and kept me there for 5 hours. My mother then wrote the head warden, Brule Kane, a certified letter about this retaliation and harassment. He forwarded the letter to Warden Felder, who called me to his office. Major Poirette then jumped in my face and told me, "My mama can't save me." They didn't give a damn about her lawsuit, and they don't have to respect no inmate. Then he cuffed me up and put false charges on me. I was sent to the dungeon by him. Major Bonnet, Warden Bonnet's other son, gassed me down while I was in a one-man cell with handcuffs on and told me his family runs this prison. He came back and forth 3 times and sprayed me with his buddy Lieutenant Bradley. They haven't let me see the doctor and lied on record saying that I did, but the records will show that I never was seen by a doctor or no medical personnel. They damaged my right ear, my eyes, and now I have a patch of hair missing in the back of my head where a lot of the gas set and burned. A lawyer said he'll get a restraining order and file a suit, but couldn't tell my mother a full price, so I told her not to sign the contract. If these people make my mother worry herself to death, I don't know what I'll do. I don't care about getting money from the lawsuit. I want them prosecuted. To feel being in a cell 23 hours a day where I am now because of their lies. Major Bonnet holds the lockdown review board and told me he'll never let me out. Warden Burl Kane wrote a letter to my mother saying none of his officers know about her lawsuit. They work here. Plus, I've been filing complaints. Plus, all the subpoenas come here when they have to go to court for the suit. I sent my mother all the documented evidence. Just about every allegation that I make against them, I have proof. Lord is my witness. I have it in black and white on paper. All the illegal things they do to me. And the law says it's a violation. Unnecessary and excessive force, corporal punishment, malfeasance in office, falsifying and fabricating documents, dereliction of duty, etc., denial of medical attention, etc. I gave all the evidence to my mother on visit. My sister is a member of T.D. Jakes Church in Dallas, and a minister there told her they don't get involved unless a murder occurs. Why do I have to die first to get help? I never before went around asking people for help, but I don't want to die here.
Well, we're certainly not like T.D. Jakes Church or any other churches. We do help. And if you really want to call yourself a church of the Lord, then you help too. All right? Because you're going to face the Lord one of these days, whether you believe that or not, you phony ministers. You're going to face him. And at least you could find out if this man is telling the truth, like what I'm doing. I believe he is. Okay, then what else?
That's why I'm seeking help before they succeed in killing me. These evildoers call themselves correctional officers, but they need to be corrected themselves. Now they're messing with my mail, saying I must send a letter back because it was forwarded to me.
I said the same thing when we have this Mr. Peeler, who was a former FBI agent and a former undercover agent with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And he pulled the lid off of all the things that were going on. I stated that all these people that are posing as American federal agents, they should be locked up in prison and let the innocent people go. Because they're, and these judges and people in the White House, they're more insidious and more guilty than anyone that I've ever met in prison. And I've met some pretty bad dudes. All right, go ahead.
But I have four letters in my possession that was forwarded to me. I also wrote the warden and showed him federal cases which say they cannot prohibit me from receiving my mail just because it's forwarded. I'm still waiting on his response. Then Major Bonnet called everybody out for the release board except me. Your advice on me staying low-key is heeded. That's how I operate. My prison record is clean for years until I get around one of the Bonnets or his friends or relatives. Then I get all kinds of false charges that I can prove are false. Pastor, there's too much other stuff to name. They must be exposed, stopped, and prosecuted to show them they have laws they must abide by as well.
Yeah, they should. If you have a congressman that's sympathetic towards you, you should have them contact Internal Affairs. And Internal Affairs did help me. There was a Mr. Ross that was in charge of Internal Affairs. I don't know if this man is in a state prison or a federal.
State.
Is it state prison? Okay, I don't know if it works the same way for a state prison, but federal prison, there is Internal Affairs. And there's a lady, Mrs. Ross, who's no relative of Mr. Ross, but they helped get me out 2 years early. All right, then what else? I served 4 years in prison and 1.5 year in a halfway house for something I did not do. While my little boys were growing up, and I didn't even get to spend any time with them. It's just so sick, the people that... fortunately, I had money and the people that were going to take care of my family, but some of these people don't have anything. That's why I always tell them, anyone in prison, that the children, they're so poor that they don't have any Christmas presents or anything like that. We will, if you'll give us the address and the sizes of clothes and how old they are and if they're a girl or a boy and if it's a mother or a dad, because we send money for soap and different hygiene items to Vandalia prisons and many other prisons in the country, that if you have loved ones out there and they have nothing, we will send them food and clothing And if we know the size, it's in toys at Christmas time. It's in other Christmas gifts from not just the children, but for the moms and dads and the grandmothers and so on that are helping with these poor families. Some of the people are guilty, but still the mothers and the dads are not guilty, and the children are not guilty. Why should they be left with nothing? Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, they don't like it that their dad is in prison, or their mother, and they have to eat, and they have to have clothing, and they have to have money to go to school, and all the other things. And, you know, we've got a lot of problems here in this country, and it seems like a lot of missionaries are, you know, we help outside the country as well, but, you know, let's be true to our own people here in the United States. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're really being brutalized by this Roman Catholic Antichrist government that's posing and pretending to be U.S. agents, okay? Let's help one another. Come on, let's do it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't stop running. We've got to run the race. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I always do my best to deal with them intelligently, and it's almost impossible to win by myself. But your intervening into this matter gives hope of survival and freedom and true life. I should have more stamps by tomorrow, and I'll send you some poems. I've one play that's not typed, and the others are typed, and my mother has them.
Right, this man writes poems, and he writes plays. And they're reality type plays and so on. And I told him to send me a few of them, and we'll read about four of his poems here. They're really, really nice. Okay, and then what else?
I shall write her and tell her to send them to you. Do I need to get this one typed as well? They're all positive plays showing how some people are until they come into the enlightenment of God. They're funny, sad, spiritual, and displays reality. I'm stuck on reality. When I'm in a better position, there's a handful of good people here I'm going to help, the same way you chose to help me, the same way that guy helped bond you out. That's called real people. It's time that this state stops its sinful ways.
Well, the people that bonded me out, they did it for money. But I don't expect any money. I didn't decide to do it. It was the Lord that tells me to do these things for people. And so I'm simply obeying what the Lord commands me and everyone else to do. Let's help out. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of hurting people in this world. Okay, not people, that are only the people that are in floods and famines and places like that, but there are people that are suffering under very cruel, treacherous people in prisons, reform schools, and elsewhere. Just write us and let us know, and we'll help if we can. All right? We'll do our best, I'll tell you that. Then what?
I don't even know what I'm in prison for. The DA told the jury that if I didn't do it, then I know who did, and I'm not telling, so I'm just as guilty. First of all, that's not the way to send someone to prison for life. Second, no, I didn't snitch on my friends. Nobody respects a snitch. And anyway, I heard things, but I really don't know if one of those people who set me up actually did it or had someone else do it. But I know they put me in a major bond. Mr. Tony, I thank you for your time, patience, and concern. You shall always be in my prayers. I hope that you respected my honesty and the way that I expressed myself. Again, I'm humbled by your concern. They tried to give me the wrong medication, but I refused to take it. I only get vitamins. God bless Eric. P.S. encloses a Christmas card to show my appreciation, as well as a picture that one of my nephews sent me after he copied it from the computer. I'll have to write my mother to get everyone's size and things. However, she mentioned a lot of people in Dallas have been donating a lot of food and clothes. They brought some stuff to shelters to do their part. I couldn't get out in time to make my father proud, but I still have a chance to make my mother proud and show her that she raised me right. Okay.
Okay, now we've got the poems.
Yeah, it's the third letter. It starts first.
Okay, there's the third letter here. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Mr. Alamo, I pray all is well with you and your loved ones. Enclosed with this letter is several of my poems. I hope that they're desirable because I write from the heart. I apologize for the delay with the poems. However, I stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning finishing your letters and Christmas card that you should have by now. I know my body will be as good to me as I am to it, so I have to get some rest. Man, I must say it again. Your offers to help me was like a dream come true. All these years I wondered if the Lord heard my prayers while I suffered in silence. But know this, I'm a living witness that He does answer prayers when He decides it's time to. Because of your letter, I was able to brighten my Mother's Day today. For years, my mother didn't have a phone that I could call collect. After the flood, FEMA put my mother into an apartment, and she had some spare change to get a phone. She's had her phone for about 2 months, and I may have called about 3 times because I don't want to run her bill up. I wrote her a letter, but just couldn't resist giving her the good news about you. So when I called, she was elated to hear from me, as usual. I let her talk first, and she told me that the people told her they're only going to give her $13 worth of food stamps. As a young man, imagine how hearing my mother say that made me feel. However, it made me feel good being able to give her the wonderful news. I told her all about your letter, and the first thing she said was, "Son, what I told you would happen if you pray and meditate. Thank God for your blessings. I told you, be patient. Now, see?" Pastor Tony, she was so happy. We even made a joke that the family should start going to your church instead of the Potter's House. Pastor, it was a rocky road for me. Sometimes I used to feel stupid praying and would say, "Ain't nothing happening." But my mother's words, and when I looked at the creation, something deep within kept telling me to believe. And you are proof that I made the right choice. God is truly working through you. You are a great blessing to me and my family. I don't know if I could ever repay you, but I do know my loyalty to you will never break. Also, today I found out that an elderly lady in the neighborhood was also at my trial to testify that the victim was my friend who always used to let me use his car. She said she knows this because she used to laugh to herself every time she saw me driving the car. Because I was so short, all she could see once I got in was the top of my head. That lawyer Montgomery didn't call any of my witnesses at all. They didn't care who did the crime. They had someone in custody, and all they cared about was getting a conviction. And my state attorney went right along with it. I used to be bitter until I realized that I was only hurting myself and that they were out there living life. So before these people, security retaliated against me and put me on lockdown because of my mother's wrongful death lawsuit, I had achieved my GED, earned several law certificates, learned CPR, took up horticulture, was waiting to be placed into carpentry school, then wanted to be a part of the inmate council civil litigation team. They prevented that by putting me in this cell 23 hours a day. But I'm okay because I have 2 Bibles, plenty of books, and the Lord. If the Lord is with me, who can be against me? I thank you very much for opening your heart and giving me a chance. My mother will send me all their sizes and ages, etc. I'll forward it to you. Although my family and I never been the type to always have our hands out, we do recognize a blessing when we see one. A blessing like you may come only once in a lifetime. Everybody needs somebody, and we're thankful for any and all that you do for us. I'm more confident now that through your help, I know I can accomplish my freedom and be somebody in life and make my family proud of me and one day be able to position myself to be able to be a blessing to someone else in need, the same way you are a blessing to me and my family in our time of need. It's still kind of hard for me to tell you what I need done because I don't want to give you the wrong impression of me. So how do I communicate with you or convey my needs? I come from the heart, but there's so many fakes and snakes, I don't want to be mistaken for one. I'm sure you can understand my feelings on this. I pray that my sincerity shines through. Again, I thank you for your time and concern. I hope you receive the Christmas card, letters, and picture I sent. May God continue to bless you. Take care, our Eric. P.S. My mother had a lump in her breast and was scheduled to have surgery. 2 weeks ago, as the doctor prepared to perform the surgery, the lump was gone. The doctor called her back the other day to check on her, and the lump had completely vanished. He said it was a miracle. I say that miracle's name is God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, the poem, first poem, Heavenly Hands. We need Jesus in our lives, not the other way around. He came way from heaven above, all the way to the ground. If he cut open his heart with steel, put it in you to show you it's real, would you still deny him before the sun reappears? Sex, drugs, money, guns, through your veins to your brain, temptations runs, blind eyes, sealed ears, diseased hearts, examples of the beast leaving its mark. You reject his love in times of gain, but soon as you're in pain, you scream his name, O Lord. When he decides to lay his hands on you, you better decide what to do. Accept or reject, it's up to you. Through my own quiet observation, throughout the land, I now decide to embrace his heavenly hands.
What a nice poem. Next one.
Abduce. Why do you want to draw me away from my natural position? Put up opposition and sentence me to prison. Abase me to a lower condition. Abduct me from being a citizen. Mislead me and deceive me. Love to see me grieving. Wanna abolish what I believe in. Hate to see me amongst the clergy. Abash me, confuse me, shame me. Abject is what you label me. I deeply abhor how you treat me. The earth shall be inherited by the meekly. Don't you understand, with the Lord on my side, you'll never defeat me? Job showed you it wasn't easy. I know now why you despise me, because I am, which you try to be. Your abyss will not swallow me. Your evil shall not abide in me. I'm watched over by the eyes of thee. Never will you be able to abate or abduce me.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Father's Day, every day. Father, you mean a lot to me, more than you really know. Not many of my peers had a father, but I did, though. As an adolescent, I couldn't see the deepness of what you were teaching me. You taught me the essence of a man and raised me mentally. Sometimes I covered my ears when you called, but you never moved your hands when I fall. You were my seatbelt when I crashed into the wall. You never abandoned me and stood by my side through it all, when what I knew as life crumbled to my feet. You were there when expectations were too high to meet. You were there when choked by grief and defeat. You were there when I saw my dreams burn in the heat, when I was on my knees fighting to get to my feet. You were there when my soul no longer wanted to compete, when I extended my arms to heaven but was too short to reach. You were there. I look upon all those times you were there for me. I took advantage of your love. Would you forgive me? You applied tough love but never hit me. I couldn't understand. You used mental tactics instead of your hand. Now I know that war doesn't make me a man. Sometimes the seas would be rocky, sometimes a smooth sail. You exemplified and distinguished man from male. You are the definition of a man and what a man should be. I thank you for your wisdom. It shall forever abide in me. You lived 80 years, but passed before I could ever repay you. I sent this letter to the heavens. I'm sure that it will reach you. I honor you every day and lift my head to the sky. God's the best of planners, but still sometimes I cry. Rest in peace, Mr. Charlie Chino Brown, Sr.
Praise the Lord.
Bars versus books. Come on vacation, leave on probation. That's Louisiana's motto. So I'm waiting, waiting for the hands of God to turn injustice to justice. The hurricane came and exposed what you've been, and just did. Unmask all the hypocrites, uncover all the lies. Justice to the man who did the time, but not the crime. You threw away the key, but you better go and find it. The truth will set you free, and the Lord stands behind it. You don't invest much into education and books. Don't you know that ignorance breeds crooks? You build prisons instead of schools. You must want a society full of fools. I educated myself now, so I'm an independent thinker. I slipped away from your hook, line, and sinker. Ha, ha, ha. I won't lie, you almost had me, but now I'm swimming back to the top. And I'm near the surface. The Lord is my light. And I discovered my purpose. You put juveniles in jail for life. Sentence innocent men to death out of spite. The proof is in the pudding, and facts are brought to light. You disregard the truth and lie and say you're right. How do you sleep at night? Knowing you just sentenced innocent men, women, and children away for life, how can you rehabilitate someone who's never been habilitated? I guess that's not your concern, because the money generated by prisons is the real reason why you made it. Vote for me, you said to the public as you professed to be a monk or a nun. But we soon found out that you spoke with a false tongue. Bars versus books, the war's not yet won. The people better wake up before our future becomes young and dumb.
Praise the Lord. Those were real nice letters and everything. I'll keep everyone in Radio Land and in our churches everywhere posted on the developments of what happens with this young man. And now we have a sister here. I was doing a message yesterday on don't stop running the race of Christianity. We are our brother's keepers because the blood of those that are being destroyed are crying out to the Lord, and the Lord sends his messengers to help them. And so when I was talking about this, don't stop running the race of faith, keep the commandments of the Lord, Sister Isabel here, come over here and sit down, told me of a vision that she had, or a dream, several years ago, and it reminded, this brought it back to her memory. Do you want to go tell the people in Radioland about that?
Yes. Shortly after I got saved, I had this dream of the Lord. In my dream, he was running really fast, and I was behind him running very fast, too, in order to keep up with him. And I remember that...
Well, the Lord said he'd be doing a quick work in the last days, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord is having his people move swiftly with zeal and scripturally in the Spirit, okay? So here the Lord is running, and you're running right behind him because there's something that the Spirit is telling you that you have to keep up with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
And he never once turned to the right nor to the left, and there was not even any time to even turn to the right nor to the left. And I remember also there was this other girl behind me, and she was also running. And then all of a sudden I saw this very huge demonic looking hand reaching from behind her and snatched her away. And then all of a sudden my dream changed to where all of a sudden that girl was in this dark room, and her look became very hideous looking and very scary, but she could not see that. What she could see was this beautiful girl, and she was even admiring at herself as how beautiful she looked. And I remember one of the things that stood out to me, how deceived she was, because she couldn't really see how she really looked. She was very ugly, hideous looking.
When she stopped following the Lord, her appearance changed from beautiful to ugly and evil looking. And something that's very hard to look at. Amen?
Amen.
That was the finish of it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's Sister Isabel, and she's from where are you telling where you're from?
I'm from L.A.
East L.A., right?
Yes.
East L.A., and so, and then she's lived in Mexico, too. Amen?
Amen.
What town in Mexico?
Guadalajara.
Okay. All right, well, listen, this is, I see we've run out of time, but I think it was, I'm quite sure the Lord moved for me to do this. And, you know, we're going to begin again with part three of Do I Offend You? Are You Ashamed of Me? We'll do that tomorrow. I thought this very important today. The Lord very much impressed me to read these things. We've got to start correcting the system here in the United States. What town was this prison in?
Angola, Louisiana.
Angola, Louisiana. So let's just pray that God will, for these people in prison that have been put there on false charges, and pray that God will deliver them right away. In the meantime, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow, and until then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.